All right, we'll say, let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Yud Aleph 111. We are picking up on the bottom of Kuf Yud 110b. We actually left off right at the last three words on the daf, Rav Papa Amar. So we'll say again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So the Gemara quoted an interesting halacha. The Gemara quoted just a few lines above. Hamanaseh shloshes lugin mayim b'chag b'chutz chayiv. If one goes ahead and does nisach hamayim, three lugin of water outside of the Beis HaMikdash, one will be chayiv. So remember again, yesterday we discussed about nisach hamayim, halacha lemoshe misinai, how much water you actually have to go ahead and pour in order for you to be chayiv for ha'alah b'chutz. We discussed all that yesterday. So now the Braisa says that if somebody goes ahead and does nisach on three lugin of water outside of the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkis, nisach hamayim rechayiv. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon said, if you filled it up, if you filled up the kli l'shem chag for the purpose of nisach hamayim on Sukkis, then you're chayv. So I wanted to know what exactly is the nafkamina between those two opinions. So Rav Papa says top of kuf yidav Rabbi saying bekarvon nisach hamayim bar pligi. That ultimately, again, the nekudas hamachlokis over here is whether or not nisachim were offered up. Were offered up in the midbar. Now Rashi explains, somewhat of a lengthy Rashi, but Rashi explains that what that actually means is what they're really arguing about is whether or not nisachim require a kli sharis. Does a nesach require a service utensil? Under normal circumstances, when doing something inside of the Beis HaMikdash, so one requires, let's say again, for example, Kabbalah. One has to receive the blood, sacrificial blood, in a kli sharis, in a service utensil. So the shaila over here is, ultimately again, do nisachim require a kli sharis or not? So Rashi points out that the Tanakhama holds that mayim, water for nisach hamayim, does not require a kli sharis. Versus Rabbi Elazar holds that, and therefore, you know, both say, even if you went ahead and you poured the water outside of the Beis HaMikdash from a non-kli sharis utensil, one would still be chayiv ultimately for nisuch. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, holds that halacha lemaaseh, you're not chayiv for ha'alah b'chutz, unless, of course, you use a kli sharis. Ravina says, we'll say just another interpretation of the machlokes. Ravina Amar, b'lemeidin nisuch hamayim, mi nisuch hayayin pligi. We'll say Ravina says, they know what they're arguing about is, do we learn out the halachos? Ultimately, again, I'm nisuch hamayim from nisuch hayayin. And I will say, if that's the machlokes, then ultimately, again, we spoke about that a little bit yesterday, about the whether or not all of the details of nisuch hamayim apply to nisuch hayayin. Excuse me, just the opposite. Nisuch hayayin applied to nisuch hamayim. That'll be the point of contention. Good. Turn up on him. We'll say weiter. Hamanaseh shlosha lugin yayin b'chutz chayiv. If someone goes ahead and pours three lugin of water outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they will be chayiv. I'm sorry, yayin, thank you. Yayin. Person goes in and spills three lugin of wine outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they will be chayiv. So the Master Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, v'hu shekidshon b'kli. So Rabbi Shimon says, that is assuming that one was mekadish them, that one sanctified the three lugin of water inside a kli. Now both say, now obviously, if Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is coming to make this statement, it must mean that what? He's coming to be mosif something on the Tanakhama. So the shaila is, what is it that he's coming to be mosif? What is it that he's coming to add? So Mabinai, what is the practical difference between these two opinions? Amar Rav Ada bar Rav Yitzchak, Beirutzei Midos Ika ben Abos. This is actually very interesting. So you know what the nafkamina is? The nafkamina is, what happens if you have overflow in the kli? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the last of the short lines in Rashi. And it goes right into the first of the widest lines. Beirutzei Midos, Mashetzof Asvas HaKli. So we'll say, here's the shaila. The shaila is, if you fill up a kli sharis with yayin, and let's say the wine goes ahead and goes above. So you'll say, you know, with liquid, you have surface tension. So surface tension actually allows you to go ahead and you could fill the liquid. Mamish, if you want to see, just go to Dunkin' Donuts, right? Mamish, they're very nice sometimes. They fill up the coffee all the way. If you notice something very interesting, that the liquid could extend over the lip of the utensil, that's called surface tension. So as I said, the shaila is, what is the status, ultimately, again, of the liquid which extends over the top of the kli. That's called Beirutzi Amidos. Mashetzav al-svasa kli. Vitarvayu kedushas kli bo. So we'll say both Rabbanon, as well as Rav Adar, Rav Yitzchak, I'm sorry, as well as Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, both require a kli. You require a kli sharis, ultimately, again, for. You require a kli sharis to be makadesh, the yayin for nisach hayayin. So what's their machlokas? Mi Rabbanon Savri, first white line in Rashi. Mi Rabbanon Savri, Beirutze Midos Shalach Niskachu. So the Rabbanon hold Rabbo say that even overflow, meaning additional amounts of liquid, in this case yayin, are sanctified. From Elazar Savar, lo niskachu, v'toch kli ba'inon uplukta detanayhi b'minachas. So Elazar on the other hand holds that no, it is only that which is contained within the walls of the kli that is sanctified, but that which extends above the walls of the kli ultimately, again, is not kosher. So we'll say the nafkamina between that is what? The nafkamina is very simple. Can you go ahead and skim off the stuff that's above the walls of the kli and use it for your own purposes? According to the Rabbanan, the answer is no. Whatever is contained in the kli, even not in the walls of the kli, is kadosh. But ultimately, again, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, only that which is in the walls of the kli is kadosh. That which extends above the walls is not kadosh. Good. Rabba Berei D'Rabba. Berei D'Rabba Amar. So let's listen to this. So another interpretation of this machlokas. So Rabba Berei D'Rabba Amar. Karvu Nisachim Bibama Ika Benayu. So we'll say ultimately, again, Rabba Berei D'Rabba says the machlokas between Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon is whether or not Nisachim can be offered up in a bama. Uplukta Dahani Tanoi. And the reality is the machlokas in the Rabbanan Rabbi Shimon Elazar. I keep saying it. The machlokas in the Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon is the same machlokas as the following machlokas tonight. Get ready. Disanya. Bamos Yachid. So let's remember again, when speaking about bamos, we speak about two different types of bamos. There's a bama gedola and a bamos Yachid. Bama gedola means the mizbeach that was used, or I should say the bama that was used for central communal service. So for example, again, that was the altar that was in Nov, that was in Givon. So that's a Bama Gedola. Bama Kitana means a private use altar. So the Shaila is as follows. Bamas Yachid. We'll say, what about the Bama of an individual? The Bama of an individual. So the Gemara says, Bamas Yachid, Inot Zvich HaNesachim. The Rebbe holds that a Bamas Yachid, Rebbe says, does not require Nesachim. The Chum say, Tuna Nesachim. The Chum say, no, you offer up Nesachim even on a Bamas Yachid. Vahani Tanoi, Kahani Tanoi. And I will say the reality is that this Machlokis in Rabbi and the Chachamim is like another Machlokis Tanoim Disanyo. Here we go. The Pasuk says, Ki Savo. Ki Savo Eretz Moshe Sechem Asher Nino Sein Lochem. Torah goes on to discuss the laws of Karbanos and Nesachim. So, Ki Savo. Lahat ino nisachim bibama gidola kasav medaber. We'll say the Torah is coming to tell me that when I come to Eretz Yisrael, and ultimately again, we set up a bama gidola, a centralized altar, I should say an altar for centralized service, we offer up nisachim on that mizbeach. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Four lines down in the wide lines of Rashi. Kisavo beparshas nesachim ksib shlach lecha. So we'll say, so this parsha, this kisavo is talking about the parsha nesachim, the parsha of libations, which is right after the chet hameraglim. So Rashi says, lat ino nesachim ba megidola, pa kosav lamdecha, shelo karvu nesachim ba midbar, umishabo laaretz neschaibu bahen ubabamas tzibor v'lom bamas yachid. So we'll say, Torah is teaching me as follows. When we were in the desert, apparently we didn't offer up Nesachim, and the Torah is therefore telling me, Ki Savo, when you come to Eretz Yisrael. Now again, Chodesh Baruch Hu knows, when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to have a Beis HaMikdash immediately, so we're going to have a Bama Gidola. We're going to have a Bama that is used for centralized karbanic service. When you have that Bama Gidola, offer up Nesachim on it. So the Gemara says, Atomer Bama Gidola. So now the Gemara says, but one second, you're telling me that the din of Nesachim applies on a Bama Gidola. Maybe it also applies on a Bama Kitana. I'll tell you why that's not possible. Kishu Omer El Eretz Moshvo Sechem Asher Anino Sein Lochem Hare Bibama Hanoheges l'kulchem akosav medaver de Rabbi Shmuel. So as Rabbi Shmuel says, that remember again, the phraseology of the pasuk is such that we're talking about Klal Yisrael. Kisavo, when you come to the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, Eretz Moshe Osechem, the land that you're going to settle, Asher Ani Nosein Lochem, everything is phrased as it applies to the collective. As such, again, when the Torah is talking about Nesachim, it makes sense ultimately, again, that the Nesachim that they're talking about are Nesachim that are going to be offered up on behalf of the collective. Where are the Nesachim going to be offered up on the behalf of the collective? That is going to be on the Bama Gedola and not on the Bama Kitana. These are the words of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva says, no. Ki savau lahat inon nesachim bebama kitana kosov medaber. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, says no. That halacha lemaisa. The pasuk is actually coming to teach me that nesachim, when they come into Eretz Yisrael, nesachim will apply even on a bama kitana. So even if you have your own private altar in your backyard, you are going to offer up not only animal sacrifices there, but ultimately nesachim as well. So the Gemara, look at Bosi, look at Rashi, just a moment. It's about 8 lines down in Rashi, in the wide lines. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Latino Nesachim Bama Kitana, Da Gidola Lo Itztrach, Tava Midbar Nami Kravi. So Bosi Rashi gives us kind of coming attractions over here. Rabbi Kiva is going to be of the opinion that Halacha Lamaisa, they were already offering up Nesachim in the Midbar, on the Bama Gidola. So as such, when the Pasek now comes to be Mechadish something, the Pasek tells you something additional is going to occur when we enter into Eretz Yisrael, it can't be that the Nesachim are going to be offered up on the Bama Gidola, because it's already happening in the Midbar. Elamai, it has to be that what? That once we come into Eretz Yisrael, the Nesachim will be offered up on the Bama Kitana. So therefore, it's going to be Kiva Omer Kisavo, when the Pasek of Kisavo, Lat Ino Nesachim Bama Kitana, Kasum Adaber. That's coming to teach me that Halacha Lamaisa, when we come into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to offer up Nesachim, even on a private altar. So the Gemara says, Atom Lebama Kitana, O Eino Ela Lebama Gidola. So Rabbi Kiva says, I'm telling you now that this applies to the Bama Kitana. Maybe you'll say, no, the Pasek is only coming to teach me that Nesachim are offered up on the Bama Gidola. I'll tell you the problem. Kishu Omer El Eretz Moshe Voseichem. When the Pasek says that you will come into Eretz Moshe Voseichem, Hari Bibama Hanoheges Bechol Moshevos Hakosum Medaber. So this is amazing. So as Rabbi Shmuel understood Eretz Moshe Voseichem to be something which applies to the collective, Rabbi Akiva understands Eretz Moshe Voseichem to mean you will build a Bama, or I should say you will offer up Nesachim wherever you live. Bechol Moshevos, which means what Rabbi Osai? Even on your Bama Kitana. You will offer up Nesachim even on your Bama Kitana. Keshet, so the Gemara says, well, say, so this, so now, by the way, this is a really riveting machlokes, because this machlokes, well, say, is a twofold machlokes. Number one, it's a fundamental machlokes as to whether or not Nesachim were offered up in the Midbar, so it's a historical machlokes. Did we know? We know we offered karbanos, that we know, but the parsha ultimately, again, of Nesachim is phrased after the parshas Hameraglim, and it's phrased as kisavo, when you come into the land. Rabbi Shmuel says, they're not offering up Nesachim in the Midbar, and therefore the pasuk is coming to teach me that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you offer up Nesachim, but where? On the Bama Gidola, right? Rabbi Akiva says, no, they are offering up Nesachim in the Midbar, and the Pasek, the novelty of the Pasek of Kisavo is what? Bechol Moshe Voseichem, that wherever you are, and i.e. wherever you build your personal Bamos, that's where you have the ability to offer up Nesachim as well. So really amazing. A historical machlokes and an Eretz, I mean, a Midbar machlokes and an Eretz Yisrael machlokes. Amazing. So the Gemara says, Kishatim Salom Radiv Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, "Kishatim Salama the Divrei Rabbi Shmuel lo kirbu nusachem amidbar." Well, Divrei Rabbi Akiva kirbu nusachem amidbar. Therefore, we'll say the Gemara just says over here. So it turns out that initial machlokes that we had the Gabi Nusachim turns out again to be a dramatic machlokes, like we just said before, regarding that which was done in the midbar. That ultimately, according to Rabbi Shmuel, they did not offer up Nusachim in the midbar, and according to Rabbi Akiva, ultimately again they did. So we'll say, So now remember again, the Gemara just says, so the Gemara wanted to suggest that, remember how we got to this. We got to this because the Braisa said, HaMenaseh Shlosha Lugin B'Yayin, Shlosha Lugin Yayin B'Chutz Chayiv, Rabbi Zerub Shemra B'Husha Kidshin B'Kli. So we'll say, so the Shaila is whether or not you need a Kli Sharis, ultimately, again, for Nisuch Hayayin B'Chutz. So what the Gemara wants to suggest is, what is that rooted in? That's rooted in whether or not, okay, follow this. That's rooted in whether or not there was nisuch hayayin on a bamas yachid. So I'll say, if you hold that nisuch hayayin was done on private altars, then by definition it tells you that you don't require what? You don't require klisharis. Because remember again, klisharis is a din ultimately in a bama gedola, in a beis hamikdash. So if you hold that nisuch hayayin was done on a bamas yachid, that means you don't need a klisharis. If you don't need a klisharis, then by definition, that would be the case ultimately, again, if a menasek shloshi yayin lugim mechutz would be chayiv. Rabbi Elazar says, v'husha kitchen b'kli. Rabbi Elazar says, you're chayiv if you do it b'chutz, only if you first sanctified the three lugin of wine in a kli. So by definition, what does he hold? The Gemara is suggesting, what does he hold? He holds yayin nesach requires, no, I'm sorry, not yayin nesach. Right? Nisuch hayayin requires a kli. Well, say, if he holds that nisuch hayayin requires a kli, then what does that mean? That there was never nisuch hayayin on a bamas yachid. Nisuch hayayin was only done on the bama gidola, and as such was always sanctified in a kli sharis. Good. So what says the Gemara? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Shiari Hadam, Shekikrivan Bachutz Chayis. So let's remember again, this was the last part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Nechemya said that if you take the leftover blood, so let's remember again, Shiari Hadam represents the leftover blood after the Hazos, after the sprinkling was done. So now I did my Hazos, I did my sprinkling, and now Halacha Lamaisa, again, I have leftover blood. So Rabbi Nechemya says, if you offer up that blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you are Chayiv for doing zrika b'chutz, doing karbanos outside. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So what Rabbi Yochanan says as follows: Rabbi Nechemya, kedivrei ha'omer shirayim me'akvin. So Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Nechemya holds like the opinion that shirayim avosai, that what you do with the leftover blood is me'akev in the sacrificial service. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's about 12 lines up from the bottom. Tell Rabbi Nechemya, b'masnisin kedivrei ha'omer be'ezo mekoman, shiyari hadam me'akvin bechatos, hilchok avod hilis chayev ala b'chutz kishar zorik miktsas dam. Who says, Rabbi Nechemya is of the opinion that when you have leftover blood, there is a din to pour it by the yisod. There is a halacha to pour it by the base of the mizbeach. And this is part of the avoda to the point that if you didn't do it, then what? The carbon would be compromised. So we'll say, so therefore again, it makes sense that Rabbi Nechemya holds that if you take the leftover blood, even though I already did the sprinkling on the inside. So we'll say, remember again, the way we normally hold is that once zirika is done by a carbon, then what? Then what? You're done. You're done. It doesn't matter what you do afterwards. Rabbi Nechemya is of the opinion that no, that shirayim are me'akvin, that the pouring out of the leftover blood is part of the sacrificial service, and failure to do so compromises the carbon. Therefore, if you take the leftover blood and you offer it up outside of the base of Mikdash, you will be chayiv. Amar Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says as follows: V'halo shiari hadam shiari mitzvaim. So Rabbi Akiva says, I don't understand, but the leftover blood will say shiari mitzvah means it's not ma'akiv. It's not ma'akiv. I understand that it's nice to pour it by the yisod, but if you don't do so, it's not ma'akiv. So he said back to Rabbi Akiva, Evarim upedarim yochichu. So Rabbi Nechemya says back to Rabbi Akiva, I'll prove that you're wrong from Evarim Bedarim. I'll say Evarim Bedarim are the sacrificial parts that have to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Shehein Shiari Mitzvah. We'll say, and remember, the Evarim and Bedarim, burning the leftover fats and limbs, we'll say, if you fail to do it, is the carbon compromised? And the answer is no. The answer is no. The carbon is still valid even if you fail to go ahead and burn the Evarim and Bedarim. But yet, Vamakrivan bochot chayiv. Yet Rabbi say, if you offer them up outside of the Beis Hamikdash, you will be chayiv. So what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, even if you offer up something outside of the Beis Hamikdash, even if that item is not ma'akev, it's not necessarily integral for temple sacrificial service, you will still be chayiv for ha'alo abochutz. Amar lo, Tushav Yekiv responds lo, im amret be'ivarim b'darim shein tchilas avoda. See, here's the difference. Because one could claim that the burning of the Evarim B'darim will say, at least, it's an avoda unto itself, what he calls a tchilas avoda. In other words, that it's part of the sacrificial process. It's the beginning of another stage of the sacrificial process. Granted, it might not be ma'ake, meaning it might not be an absolute necessity, but at the end of the day, it's a haschala of a brand new sacrificial process. However, again, by the pouring out of the B'darim will say, That's like the tail end of the blood service. And again, Rabbi Kiva is saying, therefore, it's not ma'akev. Because it's not ma'akev and it's the tail end of the blood service, if you did it outside, you shouldn't be chayiv. Vimisa, lemale, hani nami me'akvi. Ultimately, again, and if it was true, as you said before, that Rabbi Nechemya holds that shiyari hadam are really ma'akev, then why doesn't Rabbi Nechemya just answer that back to Rabbi Akiva? To which the Gemara says, tiyufta. It's a good refutation. Others will say, what the Gemara is saying over here is as follows. There's this argument happening between Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Akiva, and yet, again, the one piece, Rabbi Akiva keeps trying to say, I don't understand why pouring out of the leftover blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, say offering it up, is going to make you chayif for Allah, because after all, that blood is not ma'akev. Rabbi Nechemya starts arguing with him in every way, but yet the one thing that Rabbi Nechemya fails to say is what would be the argument closer, which is that I hold shiari hadam is ma'akev. And I will say that remembers what Rabbi Yochanan suggested at the beginning of this Gemara. The fact that Rabbi Nechemya doesn't suggest that would seem to indicate that what? That Rabbi Yochanan is wrong. And in fact, Rabbi Nechemya may not hold that Shiari Hadam is Ma'akev. V'hashna da'amar Rav Adda bar Ava machlokis b'shayim p'nimim. So I'll say, Rav Adda bar Ava says that the machlokis about Shirayim is only about blood that is offered up p'nimim inside of the what we call the Chatas HaPnimis, right, which is the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So ultimately, again, now that he said that, is that blood that is the Machlokes. Aval b'shar machitzonim, divrei hakol lo ma'akvi. But everyone agrees, we've all said that Shirayim, from Karbanos that are offered up, I'm going to say outside of the basement, I mean outside of the Heichol, right, ultimately, again, are ma'akiv. Then the Gemara says, I'm sorry, let me say that again. Now that Rav Adam Ava said the machlokis b'shayim p'nimiyim, that the machlokis ultimately again is only from inside Shirayim. Ava b'shayim achitzoniyim divrei hakol lo ma'akvi. Rav Adam said for Shirayim from outside of the Heichol, ultimately again everyone agrees that it's not ma'akev. Then the way you could interpret it is ki kam Rabbi Nechemya b'shayim ha'p'nimiyim. That ultimately again Rav Adam said Rabbi Nechemya's statement in the Mishnah that shiari hadam shekrivu b'chutz chayiv is talking about what type of shirayim? Shirayim p'nimiyim, right? Leftover blood, I'll say, that should have been applied or that was applied inside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the blood, ultimately, again, that Rabbi Nechemya says, if you offer the rest of it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that one will be chayiv for that. And ultimately, again, in the conversation with Rabbi Akiva, they're talking about shirayim chitzonim. We'll say Siddishita Mikubetzes changes the girsa, the next girsa, to read Ihachi ne malei ki amri ana bepnimiyim. So if that's the case, again, then why doesn't Rabbi Nechemya say to Rabbi Akiva, when I said my statement that if you offer up the leftover blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that one will be chayef for Allah b'chutz, why doesn't he say to Rabbi Akiva, ultimately, again, I'm talking about shirayim pnimiyim, why doesn't he say that? To which the Gemara says, "L'divrei Rabbi Akiva kamar," because ultimately, again, Rabbi Nechemya was responding in accordance with Rabbi Akiva's argument. Rabbi Akiva does not necessarily agree with the look at Rashi for just a moment. Rabbi Akiva kamar, four lines up from the bottom. L'didi shirayim me'akvin. According to Rabbi Nechemya, says shirayim are me'akvin. L'didach nami da'amet shiari mitzvahein hekter evarim yochiach. So we'll say, so Rabbi Nechemya is arguing in Rabbi Akiva's logic, and therefore again does not simply advance his own point. Fine. So we'll say, so good. So just you should know, halacha l'maisa, Rambam doesn't pass like Rabbi Nechemya, and holds that by shiari hadam, whatever kind of shiari hadam it is, after zrika has been done, halacha l'maisa, the blood service has been discharged, and if you were to take the rest of that blood and go ahead and sprinkle it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, one would not be chayiv for ha'alah b'chutz. Good. Says, I'm sorry, no me'ila on it either. Correct. So Mishnah. Hamolik HaSofer. We'll say, so now we're back to a little bit of the bird offering. So we actually made reference to this Mishnah a few days ago. Hamolik HaSof Bifnin. So we'll say, if one does Malika on the bird inside of the Beis HaMikdash, Veheela Bachutz. And then what happens? Well, this is an actually interesting case. He did Malika on the inside, so he did Malika inside the Beis HaMikdash, but then he offers it up, he puts it on the Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens? What's the halacha? Chayif. Such a person ultimately, again, will be chayif. Malak b'chutz, v'he'ala b'chutz. We'll say if he did Malika outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and also offered it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then what's the halacha? Potter. It's potter. Now why is that? Look at Rashi just a moment. Malak b'chutz, neveilahi, she'in Malika ela b'fnim. We'll say because again, the concept of Malika does not exist outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, again, when he does Malika outside, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the bird becomes an avela. Lefichach pater al ha'alasa va'amalikasu nami pater kederim yish pirkin. So we'll say so again. Fine. So therefore, Malika inside, ha'la outside, chayiv. Malika outside, ha'la outside, pater. Hashochet esa'of bifnei bosanai. Here's the novelty case. What if one did shchita on the bird inside the Beis HaMikdash, v'he'ela b'chutz, and you offer it up outside the Beis HaMikdash? We'll say, what's the halacha? Potter. We'll say, now, what's the logic behind that? Remember, again, there is no such thing as shchita in an oaf. There is no such thing as shchita by an oaf. Only malika. Remember, we'll say, here's the principle. In order to be chayiv for doing something b'chutz, the very thing that you are doing b'chutz, has to have had the ability to be done bifnim. If it doesn't have the ability to be done bifnim, then by definition you're not chayiv for halacha b'chutz. Because there's no such concept as shchita by oaf, if you shechted the carbon, now remember it's very important, if you shechted the oaf, this is bifnim, inside the basement of the Shabbosai, so again, that it's now irrelevant, because there's no such thing as shchit asa oaf bifnim, so therefore again, it's invalid, it's an avela. Therefore, even if you subsequently go ahead and offer it up outside the basement of Mikdash, it's irrelevant, and you're potter. So we'll say, Amad Beis. Shachat b'chutz v'he'la b'chutz. So we'll say, what happens if a person went ahead and shechted it outside? And offered up outside, so we'll say, watch this. Chayiv. We'll say, now this is the novelty case. Now I shechted the bird outside, offered it up outside, I'm going to be chayiv. So we'll say, nimtza. So we'll say, first I'll take a look at Josh just a moment. Shim shachat, shachat b'chutz ve'ela b'chutz chayiv. Af al ha'ala, shchita b'chutz ba'of, rabbi rachmana, me'o asher yishchat. So remember again, we had this a few days ago. We learned from the drasha. We're going to see it again, that halacha l'maisa, even though there's no such thing as a bird shechting inside, no bird shechita inside the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah, there's a riboy that we're going to see that includes shechita of a bird outside. So the great anomaly over here is, if I shecht the bird inside, there's no issue of shechut echutz. If I shecht the bird outside, there is an issue of shechut echutz, even though there is no such concept of shechita by a bird. Nimtza. Derech hechsheru b'fnim p'tor b'chutz. So also, therefore, it turns out that which ultimately, again, Derech Hechsheru Bifnim, we'll say that which ultimately again is its Derech Hechsheru. We're going to explain this klal in the Gemara. Ultimately, paters you b'chutz. Derech Hechsheru mi b'chutz, patura mi bifnim. The way ultimately which it's kasher on the inside will pater you on the outside. We'll see what that klal means. Rav Shimon says, Kol shechayoven alav b'chutz, chayoven al kiyotei bo bifnim. Shimon says, no, here's the principle. Anything that you are chayiv b'chutz, so you're only going to be chayiv if what? If you would be chayiv for the same avoda bifnim. She'ela b'chutz. So we'll say the only time you're chayiv b'chutz is if you would have done the same type of avoda bifnim and now you're doing it b'chutz, that's when you're chayiv. Chutz, with one exception. So we'll say, to say that simpler, Rav Shimon just says that in order to be chayiv for anything b'chutz, the same avoda would have had to have been valid if done bifnim. The one exception to this rule is chutz min ha'shochei bifnim u'ma'ala b'chutz. Also, the one exception to this rule is the exception we just said before, that if one shechted a bird inside the Beis HaMikdash and offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash, what's the halacha? The halacha is your pater. But yet, if you shechted outside and offered up outside, you will be chayiv. That's the only exception to the rule, says the Gemara. So, hai hechshero chiyuvahu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand why the Gemara used lotion of hechsher, right? When it's talking about the clown. It says nimtza derech hechsheru bifnim p'tur b'chutz. It's not hechsher, it's chiyuvo. It's talking about when you're obligated, when you're liable. To which the Gemara says, enoch enami, right? Tani chiyuvo. Tain the word hechsher ultimately again to chiyuv. Rav Shimon says, ahecha koi. So also now the Gemara says, what Rav Shimon is commenting on the Mishnah, he's commenting on one of the aforementioned statements. Ahecha koi. Which earlier statement ultimately is he commenting on? Ilema Arisha, if you want to say he's talking about the first part of the Mishnah, Hamolik Ov Bifnim, Vehela Bochutz Chayiv. So ultimately, again, if a person does Malika, on the Ov inside of the Beis HaMikdash, and then goes in and offers it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Chayiv. Molok Bochutz, V'he'ala b'chutz pater. If he did malika outside and halo outside, he's going to be pater. V'amar li Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon says, ki echi dipnim mechayiv, b'chutz na mechayiv. Rabbi Reb Shimon argues on this, and he says, no, whatever you would be chayiv for bifnim, i.e. malika, malika and halo, you should be chayiv if you do it b'chutz also. If that's the case, then what Reb Shimon should have said is, hi, kol shechayoven alav b'chutz, it shouldn't have said kol shechayoven alav b'chutz, what should it have said? Kol shechayoven alav b'fnim mi'boyle. Reb Shimon's Lashon HaRabbah should have been anything that you would be chayiv for on the inside, you're chayiv for on the outside. Therefore, again, if you did malika and ha'ala on the outside, you should be chayiv because you'll be chayiv for those very avodos on the inside. Elo, ki echi de b'chutz lo mechayiv, b'fnim nami lo lechayiv. Rather, maybe Reb Shimon's coming to say as follows. That ultimately, again, what in the same way you're not chayiv b'chutz, you also will not be chayiv b'fnim. If that's the case, hay kol she'in chayavan alav b'chutz mi'boyle. If that's the case, Reb Shimon should have just changed around this formulation to say anything that you're not chayiv for b'chutz. Eva asif akoy. Rather, Reb Shimon is coming to comment on the latter part of the Mishnah. Hashochet of b'fnim v'he'la b'chutz pater. If one shechts a bird on the inside the Samedosh, and then offers it up outside the Beis Samedosh, he will be potter. Why? But on the other hand, shachat b'chutz v'he'la b'chutz chayiv. If he shechted the bird outside and offered it up outside, he will be chayiv. V'amar Reb Shimon says, no, ki echi dibifnim lo mechayiv, b'chutz nami lo mechayiv. Reb Shimon argues on that point. I will say specifically that last one, of shachat b'chutz and he'la b'chutz, which the Tanakhama held, your chayiv. Reb Shimon comes along and says, no, I don't understand. If you're the same way that you wouldn't be chayiv bifnim, you shouldn't be chayiv b'chutz. So I will say, if shechita by oath doesn't work bifnim, then it shouldn't work b'chutz either. To which someone says, well, if that's the case, hay kol she'in chayovin miboyle. Then ultimately, again, Reb Shimon should have phrased it as anything that you're not chayiv for. Elo, ki echi de b'chutz mechayiv, bifnim nami mechayiv. Rather, we'll say what Reb Shimon means to say is as follows. The same way, ki echi de b'chutz chayiv, whatever ultimately, again, you'll be chayiv for b'chutz, bifnim you should also be chayiv. So Gemara says, ha katani, chutz min hashochet bifnim, v'ama'ale b'chutz. Ultimately, again, but yet we learn that what does it say? With the exception of that which is shechted bifnim and ultimately offered up b'chutz, to which the Gemara says, what's the machlokas? Amr Ziri, shchitas behema balayla ikevenayim. So we'll say Ziri suggests that you know ultimately, again, what's that play over here or the anafkamina would be? What happens if you went ahead and you shechted an animal at night? Now we'll say, now watch this. Vaki kamar, hashochet behema bifnim balayla. If someone went ahead and shechted an animal inside the Beis HaMikdash at night, v'he'ela b'chutz, and then you offer it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, what's the halacha, Rabosai? Pater. Pater. Rabosai, now why are you pater in that case? Because there's no such thing as sacrificial shechita at night. Therefore, by definition, remember again, you could only be chayiv for something b'chutz if the same exact act would have been liable bifnim. On the other hand, shachat b'chutz balayla v'he'ela b'chutz chayiv. Yet Rav will say, what's the halacha? The halacha ultimately is if you were to go ahead and shecht it outside at night and offer it up outside, you would be chayiv. We'll say, now look at Rashi for just a moment. Take a look. It's the first wide line in Rashi. First of the widest lines on the bottom. So shachat b'chutz v'he'ela b'chutz chayiv. Why is that? The b'shchitas chutz Loshna laila miyom darawi hu lavo apesach o amoid lamachar ubalasa nami chayiv doxis was listen to this. So Tanakama suggests that Allah Almighty said when it comes to shchutei chutz there is no distinction between nighttime and daytime, right? Because again, Halach L'maisa, the Gemara says over here, Daha ro'i hu lava apesach o'amoy. Because technically speaking, the criteria is this a fit karban or not? And because technically it would be fit to be brought to the entranceway of the O'amoy the next morning, therefore the Tanakama suggests that one would be chayiv for shchutei chutz in this circumstance. Reb Shimon comes along and argues on this, and he says, absolutely not. Kol shechayavan alav b'chutz, chayavan al kiyotze b'fnim, ve'ala b'chutz. So Reb Shimon says, no, that's not true, that's not the way this works. In order to be chayiv, ultimately, again, for b'chutz, the same exact avoda has to be chayiv, or has to be fit, if done b'fnim. Therefore, again, when you do shechita b'layla, Rabosai, shechita b'layla b'fnim is pasul. It doesn't exist. So because it doesn't exist, there can't be liability b'chutz either. Chutz min ashochet, with one exception, Rav Shimon has an exception. Chutz min ashochet of bifnim vehela b'chutz. So I'll say ultimately again, Rav Shimon says, I just want to point out, so the Gemara, we're just trying to figure out what is the nekudas hamachlokis over here between Rav Shimon and the Tana Kama. So the first opinion is, the machlokis of Osei is in a case of shchutei chutz balayla. So the Rabbanon say, shchutei chutz balayla, ultimately again, shchutei balayla will still be chayiv for shchita and ha'alah b'chutz. Rav Shimon says, no, it won't, because in order to be chayiv for Allah, for shchita, for avoda b'chutz, it has to mirror avoda b'fnim exactly. I also just want to point out, even Rav Shimon has one exception to his rule. What's his one exception to the rule? Oaf. We'll say everyone will subscribe to the oaf exception. The oaf exception is that shchita of an oaf, b'chutz, halah b'chutz, will be chayiv. And we'll talk about that independently. Rava says, Kabbalah b'kli chol ikavena. We'll say, in fact, the point of contention of Machlokes team, the Tana Kama and Reb Shimon, is also is in the case ultimately again of Kabbalah b'kli chol. So Kabbalah sadam in a non kli sharis utensil. So v'achikar, this is what it means to say: Hamakabel b'kli chol bifnim. If somebody did Kabbalah in a non kli sharis inside the Beis Hamikdash, v'heh labachutz, and then went ahead and offered it up outside of the Beis Hamikdash, putter. Ultimately, thinking about say a person will be potter. Okay, because remember again, you didn't do a valid avoda if you did not go ahead and meaning once you are makabel it in a klichol inside the Beis HaMikdash, the whole thing is disqualified. There's nothing more to talk about. On the other hand, hamakabel beklichol b'chutz v'he'ala b'chutz chayiv. If you did Kabbalah in a non-kli sharis b'chutz, so also what this means is I did shchita b'chutz, Kabbalah b'klichol in a non-kli sharis b'chutz, so v'he'ala b'chutz, and then I offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Tanakama holds chayiv. Why, Rabosai? Very simply, Tanakama holds because Rabosai, there is no din of kli sharis outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So because there's no din of kli sharis, it doesn't make a difference. If I did Kabbalah in a kli chol, I'm still going to be chayiv for Kabbalah, for shchita, for ha'ala b'chutz. Reb Shimon says no. Kol shechayavin alav b'chutz chayavin al kiyotzei b'fno b'fnim v'hela b'chutz. Reb Shimon says absolutely not. In order to be chayiv b'chutz, Reb Shimon, the same act has to be chayiv. The exact same act has to be chayiv if done b'fnim. Because ultimately, again, if you did Kabbalah in a non-kli sharis, in a kli chol b'fnim, that would be halachically irrelevant. Therefore, you're not chayiv for doing it b'chutz as well. Chutz, okay, again, and Reb Shimon has the same exception every time. Chutz min ha'shochet of b'fnim ve'alo b'chutz. With the exception of Osayev Of. Of is the one exception, says even Reb Shimon agrees, where even though that which you do outside does not mirror that which you do inside, you will still be chayiv. Hashta detani avuah d'shmo barav Yitzchak. So I say, now that we learned that where avuah d'shmo name barav Yitzchak said, hamolek of b'fnim ve'alo b'chutz chayiv. So we'll say, if you do malika on an oaf inside the Beis HaMikdash, and then you offer it up outside the Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayiv. Malak b'chutz, ve'ala b'chutz, potter. But yet, if you were to go out and do malika b'chutz, we'll say it, and you offer it up b'chutz, you'll be potter. Reb Shimon mechayiv. And Reb Shimon ultimately, again, will say that you're chayiv in that case, I will say. Now, the logic behind that seems to me, why does Reb Shimon say that you're chayiv? Ultimately, again, because it was a case of Malika b'chutz and Kabbalah and Ha'ala b'chutz mirrors that which is done inside the Beis HaMikdash, to which the Gemara says, Reb Shimon, Hasam Koi, Vitani Kol Shechayavan Allah Bifnim, Ve'ala b'chutz, Chayavan Allah b'chutz. Because Reb Shimon, again, to which the Gemara says, now it makes sense, because it's Reb Shimon l'shita. So Reb Shimon ultimately, again, is coming off his statement in the Mishnah, and Reb Shimon is a purist. Reb Shimon ultimately holds that anything that is done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, by definition, again, will be chayiv if it mirrors that which is done inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes, ultimately again, between Reb Shimon and the Tana Kama, specifically regarding how much does avoda b'chutz have to mirror that which is done bifnim in order to go ahead and be chayiv for chutz. The Tana Kama, the Rabban Abba Osei clearly holds that it has to mirror it, but it doesn't have to mirror it in totality. V'haraya, the Rabbanon would seem to say that you're chayiv for a case of shchita balayla. The Rabbanon would seem to say that you're chayiv for a case of Kabbalah in a non-kli sharis. Versus Rav Shimon Rabba Osei holds, then all of these cases, halacha l'maisa, in order to be chayiv for Allah b'chutz, it mamish has the same exact avoda has to be fit to be done bifnin. So that's the fundamental machlokas, and the Gemara ends off without fully resolving it. Now, I do want to point out the oath machlokas of Osei as much are the oath statement. I'll call it the oath anomaly. The oath anomaly, which is why something that is done b'chutz, if done, it will be chayiv, but yet the same act, if done bifnim, will be patur. I will say that's the case of shechita. If you shecht an oath b'chutz and offer it up b'chutz, you'll be chayiv for shechutin halah b'chutz, but yet, if you shecht an oath inside the base of Israel, say, what's the status of the oath? Nevela, it's nothing. It's nothing. So that we'll discuss. Even though it was mentioned in this Mishnah, we're going to see it later on. So say, let's just do a few lines in the next Mishnah. Chatos shekibel dama bakos echad, benasan bachutz. So we'll listen to this interesting case. So now, okay, we'll say, so it's a good day. Chatos is being done inside the base of Mikdash. The Shechita is being done inside the base of Mikdash. The Kabbalah is being done inside the base of Mikdash. And everything is fine. And then what happens? Except now, what occurs? So the Gemara says, Nasan Bochutz, person then goes and takes the blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, does Zrika on a Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, V'chazar B'Nasan Bifnim, and then he comes back and brings the blood back in, and now does the Zrika inside the Beis HaMikdash, or Bifnim, or he does the Zrika inside the Beis HaMikdash, V'chazar B'Nasan Bochutz, and then he goes and he does it outside the Beis HaMikdash, Chayiv. Ultimately, again, he will be chayiv. In other words, chayiv for the act of zrika b'chutz. He'll be chayiv ultimately again for the act of zrika b'chutz. So we'll say, why? Shekulo ra'i bifnim. Ultimately again, because all of this blood is fit to be sprinkled inside. So we'll say, because all of the blood is ultimately again in one kli, that is blood that is fit for sacrificial service. Therefore, if you take it outside and you sprinkle it, you will be chayiv. Again, we have to explain a lot in that case. Oh, we're going to talk about that. So the Gemara says, next, kibel dama b'shtei kosos. So we'll say, now here's where it gets a bit more intriguing. Let's say you did kavala in two cups. So we'll say two kalim. I do kavala literally in two kalim. So we'll say, what happens? Nasan shnei bifnim pater. So we'll say, if you go ahead and you do the blood application from both cups inside the base, make the shir pater. And we'll say, now that case, that's obvious. That's saying, if you take the blood of both cups and you do zrika from them, pater. So, of course, there's no chiddush. I didn't do anything. So we'll see. This is just going to be a stylistic issue in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah wants to first go ahead and kind of give us a softball, right? Wants to lob us some easy cases before it gets into the complicated ones. Shneiim b'chutz, if you offered up both cups outside, in other words, you did zrika from both cups outside, chayiv. Echad bifnim ve'echad b'chutz, pater. But say if you went ahead and you offered up one of the cups inside, one of the cups outside, you're pater. I was about to say, which makes sense. Why? Because there was zrika done on the inside. Once there's zrika done on the inside, bepashtos, what that means is the other cup becomes kind of just unnecessary. So echad b'chutz ve'echad b'fnim. But say if I did one of them on the now the order over here is very important as well. If you look in case number one, this was echad b'fnim ve'echad b'chutz pater. If I did one cup on the inside, one cup on the outside, I'm potter for the cup on the outside. Presumably because why? Because halach l'maaseh, I've discharged my obligation for zrika for the first cup, and therefore the second cup becomes inconsequential. Echad b'chutz ve'echad b'fnim, if I did the first cup outside, second cup inside, chayiv al achitzon, I am chayiv ultimately again for sprinkling the blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, v'apnimi mechaper. But also listen to this interesting idea. But the carbon on the inside is still good. So we'll say, this is a great, if you're looking for some Talmudic small talk, and you want to say, where can you ever have a case of where a carbon, ultimately, again, could be kasher, bifnim, and chayiv b'chutz, which I'm about to say sounds like an anomaly, the same carbon, kasher, bifnim, chayiv b'chutz, here it is. You have Kabbalah, you do Kabbalah Saddam in two cups. You go ahead and what? You take one of them outside, and you sprinkle the blood there, and then you take the second cup, which wasn't removed outside, it's inside, and then you do zrika on the inside. You're chayiv, Rabbosai, for the act of zrika outside, you're chayiv for zrika b'chutz, and we'll discuss the dynamics of this, but the carbon is also kasher with the zrika done from the second cup. So I'll say, so one carbon, liability on the outside and on the inside. I should say liability on the outside, but yet fulfillment of the obligation on the inside. We'll stop with this case. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with the clarification on this case tomorrow. So we're going to see. That's what we're going to see.